as I was saying, I saw the movie and I really enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was disturbing in a good way, which anybody that's out to make a decent horror movie knows that disturbing is a compliment. I was curious to know how the two of you came together on this project to begin with. I was curious how you, what the casting process was like for those two guys.
Marcel, I'm sure. Yeah, no, we had a casting director cast movies like Mean Creek and some other things, and some sort of they both had a good sense of sort of teen actors or actors play teens out there, and really because of the script, because of the sort of extreme nature of the script, there's also a lot of people that. Or at least a lot of agents and representatives that wouldn't send their people into the movie. They're like, oh, I don't want them in this movie. Because when you read the script, you don't really know what we're going to do with it or how we're going to handle it. And it reads a lot harsher than the movie probably ended up being. So everyone who showed up to audition really wanted to do the movie and really got it and was really into it. Sort of excited by it being a little dangerous and a little different. So we were really lucky. We got people together, knew that everyone who came in knew what they were getting into, and really were trying to petition us to let them play the parts. Shiloh came in originally for JT, and he just sort of gravitated towards Ricky, and it was a pretty natural fit. Noah, I think, called us from the set of Cabin Fever 2 saying that he was going to play JT, he just had to and would do anything to get that part. So we were lucky.
Well, it's funny because a big part of the way the movie is sold is as this kind of coming-of-age story, and I think when it starts off in the beginning, if you don't know what the movie's about or anything, it's a little, it kind of takes you in a different direction, and you almost don't expect where it's going. Is that something that you kind of were going for?
Oh, yeah, definitely a lot of big switch at the beginning. That was... One of the great things about the script was that you sort of had that same reaction where the script kept taking these turns that you were not ready for. It didn't really set you off in that direction, and it was really exciting to read, and it was just sort of how to make sure that the audience went through that same experience that we went through reading it.
And I think I wanted to talk a little bit about what the movie is saying, because just on a segue, I mean, anybody who's read my blog that this is for the Vault of Horror knows that I'm not the hugest fan of things that people tend to call torture porn, things like Hostel. But the thing is, I think that your movie is really in kind of a different class, because I really do think it's got something to say. I just want to talk a little bit about that. It's kind of a morality question, isn't it? The whole issue of what would you do if you knew you can get away with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that we're really adamant about, we were just talking about when we were talking with the kids, is it's not even about the girl and what they do to her, it's just this choice they make. And, you know, Mark always says, like, you know, if it could have been a suitcase full of cash, that's really what it's about. It's about what they find and what they do with that decision and how it affects their relationship. Yeah, we knew the torture porn thing might be an issue, because it's sort of an easy thing to throw at the movie, and we were just sort of, since we never thought that way, we kind of hope that people like you sort of would discount that label as well, I guess.
Well, because the problem I have is when people use that label accurately, and I don't think it's applied accurately to your movie, but accurately, my problem with it is that it's just about the violence, and it's for its own sake. That's why I think the movie's a bit different here, because it all kind of is for a purpose, and it makes you uncomfortable, but I think it's supposed to make you uncomfortable, because it's really, it's asking a question here, and it's almost, and it's a very uncomfortable question, because you see this transformation in JT, where he realizes, hey, I can do whatever I want here, and there's not going to be any consequences, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's people who don't have, or don't see themselves as having anything, suddenly having, you know, something. And how, what you really do is kind of hold on to this little thing, whatever it is.
And I think, I mean, yeah?
I was going to say, just, you know, in all, I think the coming-of-age story, you know, coming of age is all about your development and connection with feelings of power and control over your own life, and then also, you know, your virgin sexuality and what you do with that. And I think, you know, in cases not even just today, but always, sort of your access to fulfill the sort of things you're trying to figure out have always been a, you know, part of growing up. And that's why we saw this coming of age story.
Seen it, I don't want to give too much of away, but obviously you know what I mean. I mean, it's very, a lot of the decisions and choices these characters make are very surprising and not what you'd usually expect to see in a movie, you know?
Yeah, totally. But it's strange when people tell us, like, people wouldn't do that or kids wouldn't do that. I don't know, I think kids are, when it comes to friendship and what you're willing to do to sort of keep the people that you know close to you, that's all you have when you're a kid. I don't think it's as easy to say what people will and will not do in certain situations. I mean, yeah, it's surreal, and the movie has a very surreal nature to it, but, and hopefully these decisions and the relationships feel very universal and grounded, but yeah, I know people definitely have their opinions on what people would do or would not do, and they let us know that.
Well, I don't think it ever, in terms of their decisions, I don't think it ever leaves the realm of believability. I mean, obviously, the main conceit of the movie, you have to suspend disbelief, but the whole thing of what they decide to do is, unfortunately, like, I was asking myself the question watching it, like, wow, do I really think that people would do that, you know? And unfortunately, I had to come to the conclusion that probably some people would. It's very unfortunate, but I think it's true.
People do far worse.
Yeah.
And read the news.
Exactly. And you mentioned the surreal aspect of it. I just wanted to, I mean, I don't want to, I don't know how much you guys want to get into it, but I'm just fascinated to shed a little bit of light on it, because we don't really ever learn specifically what this girl is or where she came from. Is there any Do you have any intention of shedding any light on that?
No. Really?
So there won't be
any... We all talked about it, and all of us have sort of our own backstories about that. We just found it to be much more satisfying and powerful for the viewer if they sort of made up the story that made it work for them, because everyone sort of comes into it a different way. And really, the story is about the kids and not the girl so much. So it's sort of, in the end, didn't really matter.
And also the kids don't really care. I mean, they don't do a lot of talking about how did this happen, and if we were going to investigate that, we should do it for the characters, which after the second, if they don't really care, you know, then that's not part of their story.
I agree, and it's funny because I also came up with my own sort of imaginary backstory for her. I was trying to sort of figure it all out. And I'll ask you guys now then to resist the urge to make Dead Girl 2, in which you completely explain every last detail of where she came from. Okay. Thank you. I have you on record stating this. The thing about the character, though, if you can even call it a character, is she is so many different things over the course of the movie. You know, she's... At some points, she's a victim. At other points, she's a monster. And at other points, you almost wonder where her allegiances lie. I mean, there's even that scene with the dog where it seems like her and JT kind of bond in some demented way.
Yeah, two monsters. Yeah.
So the coming-of-age thing, we talked a little bit about it, but let's talk a little bit more about how... This kind of a movie, as you know, it would surprise a lot of people to grasp it this way, how it fits into the category of a coming of age story.
Myself sort of said it pretty well a few minutes ago, and I wish I remembered what he said. But he was just saying that, you know, coming of age usually means coming into, you know, the transition to kind of what you are into what you will be, or what you think life will be like for you, and that's the transition that everybody makes. And I think all great coming of age movies sort of have that, where you're a kid and then you sort of see, you know, dressing adults as your future. And I mean, that's what this movie's really a lot about, is this guy who sort of always saw life a certain way, and then by the end of the movie realizes that maybe things aren't going to turn out the way he thought they were. And also, you know, those same things, like coming into dealing with all these fears that you go through during that transition, whether it's fear of abandonment or fear of intimacy, and it's just dealing with all those new things that are going to be a part of your life. The other big thing about coming of age and all coming of age movies and stories and even, you know, in real life, is a great thing about framing morality tale in a coming of age story is that young people tend to act first and think later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what our characters do, and a lot of what we can relate to, even in our own, you know, youth, is, you know, a lot of times you act and you do something stupid and you think, did I just do that? But then you think about it. Better movie. Story.
Yeah, it definitely does. I wanted to ask about the score for it. I found that it's pretty haunting music. It kind of sticks with you, just the repetitive theme of it. I was curious how you found your composer.
Our composer was an actual friend of our editor's, and he was a real sort of partner in the experience of coming up with the score, because we took about a year to edit the movie, and during that entire time, you know, we also got the opportunity to sort of play around with music and sounds, and it was great. It wasn't like, you know, go off and write this theme or write this scene and then we'll all talk about it. It was sort of really developed. We had a lot of time to play and develop it. It's really great. I think he's a super talented guy and a nice guy too. So,
Yeah, I think it's really one of the most powerful elements of the film, honestly. I wanted to ask one other thing before I let you guys go. And I wanted to talk about the release of this. Do you know, is this going to be, are you getting a theatrical release for this?
Yeah. Well, what Dark Sky is doing, which is kind of a clever plan, is they're doing, I think it's starting with 10 U.S. cities, they're doing sort of a special multi-midnight screen simultaneously, sort of a midnight road show, so to speak, and then, so we're starting with that on July 24th in a bunch of cities, and also Canada, too. So yeah, then I think they'll be doing that a bit, and then a couple months later, a month or so later, it'll come out on you know, video, usual. But it's very exciting.
Yeah, that is it. That's
it's different, unconventional. That's what's neat about it.
I think so, and it's honestly encouraging that a movie like this is getting a release, because a lot of times it seems like distributors or studios don't really want to take a chance on something like this, and they immediately shuffle it off to DVD directly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, I think our current IMDb ranking is like 60, and we were sort of talking the other day about how we surpassed, you know, James Cameron's Avatar and things like that. So for a little movie like ours to sort of be getting sort of the attention, and people are obviously checking it out, that's what moves you up on the rankings, it's pretty cool. So hopefully people will show up, and, you know, distributors will release anything if people support it and show up, and that's the bottom line. So if they do, then people can see more stuff, I think, in the future like this.
True, and I really hope that people do check it out, because it's very different and it's very challenging, and it's not your typical horror movie or typical coming of age movie. So I hope people check it out. I think they will. I want to thank you guys for giving me some of your time today to go to talk about this movie.
Thanks, Brian.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.